Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone, and happy 4th of July weekend to you. I was just looking at the last hymn there, just that last verse. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Isn't that just a beautiful, just happened to notice that. It's the 4th of July weekend here, and we just praise the Lord for all the freedoms that we have, just this wonderful nation that we're in. Just pray that God will continue to keep us a free nation, free to be able to come to worship, to serve God, to praise His name. And we just thank God for all the freedoms that we have. So welcome everyone here this morning. Glad that you're here and have chosen to spend this 4th of July weekend here worshiping and praising the Lord. Okay, a couple announcements as we begin our service. Just a note that next Sunday is the final vote, and so we will have a fellowship meal following the service. I hope that you, if you don't stay for the vote, at least you can stay for the fellowship meal and just have a time of fellowship here. And the vote will take place at 1:30 here. The district representatives will come and we'll be here to oversee that. And so it will happen promptly at 1:30. Those who are active members will be able to participate in that vote. If you have any question about whether or not you're a member or whether or not you're an active member, you can see the directory or you can talk to me or anyone in the board. I'm sure they can be able to help you in making sure that you're informed on who can vote and who can't vote. So just keep note of that and be sure to be here next Sunday. Also, again, just a reminder about our music program that's coming up July 24th. We look forward to an ice cream social here. I hope that you invite some friends and family and let them come and participate. What a great way, again, to just reach out to those who maybe are thinking about coming to church, but you just hadn't had the opportunity to, or the right time to ask them. So please do that. Also, just a note about vacation time as well. We'll be away from the 11th to the 17th, and certainly the deacons are always available. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time?
Yes,
Janet?
Yes, I took the sunshine box to Jean this week, and she was most appreciative. She wanted to make sure that I thanked everyone, and she was excited about that.
That's great. Janet, thanks for sharing the update on that. I'm sure she was just amazed to see all the things that we had collected. And, of course, you see in your bulletins that Jean has put a thank you in the bulletin. And, she just put a little thank you in there to each of you who helped in putting something in that sunshine box. Yeah, but you know, you can still give to that. If you hadn't, maybe you still want to give something to Jean that would lift up her day, you can still do that. Just put it in the kitchen and be sure to put Jean's name on it. That way we can get that to her if you hadn't been able to do that and would like to do that. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? With that, I'm going to share this 4th of July prayer. Do you see this inside of your bulletin? Just a beautiful little prayer here. And I'm going to share this prayer with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy daily. May we never take for granted the liberties that we have been given. May we remain humble and conscious of the blessings we enjoy because of the sacrifice made by countless men and women. We thank you for the abundance we enjoy. May we be sensitive to those around us who are in need, and may our heart be quick to help when we have the means to do so. We pray for our leaders, for those placed in authority over us. And Father, we ask that you guide every decision that they make. May they lead us with wisdom, humility, and grace. Father, bless our nation with your peace. May your love flow through each one of us. And may we never forget to give you thanks always. May you receive the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand this morning for our call to worship. And you'll find this in as portions of Romans chapter 12. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Let's turn our hymnals to page 486. Faith is the victory. Page 486. Be seated. I want to take just a couple minutes here to gather up any of our prayer requests or praises that we would like to share. One in particular, we want to continue to lift up Randy Simmons. Randy's here, and we praise the Lord for that Randy's here this morning. We're so glad to have Randy and Patty back with us, and we just praise God for all that God is doing in his life to heal him, and just praise God for all the family and all the church that has come around him in these past few weeks, and I know he just has a testimony of all that God is doing and has done for him. And so we just praise the Lord for that. We want to continue to lift Randy up in prayer, though. I think we prayed last week that Randy was still having some issues with his heart, and so we just wanted to pray, continue to pray for that, Randy, and just pray that you will receive that healing that we're praying for. Yeah, absolutely. Be sure to just tell Randy that you're praying for him today as you leave church, and we just that helps, doesn't it, Randy? Just to know that the church is praying for you, and to know the love and support's there. So we just thank the Lord for that. Also, I just want to praise the Lord for a wonderful weekend that myself and Deborah had at a church conference. You wouldn't think you'd have a great time at a conference, right? But this was a church conference, and it was good. We were able to attend the Covenant Brethren Church Conference and hopefully bring back some information to the church. But we had a really good weekend. Fred Shank and Helen Shank were there, a part of that, and it was just a blessed weekend of brethren. I think that's the main thing to see. The brethren were coming together at that moment, and there was a real sense of unity, togetherness, and that we haven't seen in a long time. I could probably get Fred an amen on that one, right? Yeah, and so we really had an enjoyable time. I have a praise, though, on the way there. We were going down 81, and of course it's 4th of July weekend. It's really busy on Friday there on the interstate. And I was going to go through Broadway and out, but I was talking to a pastor, and he said, "Why don't you go on up towards Winchester?" And so I did. And around Winchester, we had a flat tire on the old Buick, and she had to pull off to the side of the road with all this busy interstate and change the tire. Fortunately, my spare had just enough air to get us off the road. And when we pulled off the interstate, I just know this was the hand of the Lord, that right there was a Advanced Auto where I was able to fix the tire, repair it, and get back on the road. So praise the Lord for that. It all worked out. If we'd have turned off in Broadway, there would have been no Advanced Auto, and we would have been beside the road. There's not, yeah, Kenny knows firsthand. He drives that. There's nothing on Corridor H or right through there that we would have had. So we just praise the Lord. I told Deborah when I got back in the car, I just knew that God had his hand over us, and we were able to keep going, and it didn't cost us a bunch of money or a bunch of time. And so we still made it there in time to be there for the Friday worship service in the evening. And I really wanted to hear that, so I was glad that that we were able to do that. That's the preacher car, my grandma. It was my grandmother's car, but I tell her it's the preacher's car now. And it did a good job. It got us there and got us back. And it was just a nail that had gotten into the tire. I mean, that could happen to anyone, you know, when you're out on the interstate. That's just part of it. So praise the Lord. That's my little praise. And also just the praise for the success of that Covenant Brethren meeting. And we pray for that body and that church group as they go forward to continue to do the work of Jesus as brethren. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Megan? Okay. Okay. If you would, and you didn't hear that, just be in prayer for Brady. It's a neighbor there close to Joe and Megan that live across the road in Parnassus. And apparently this little boy was just born. Little girl was born and is having some, born with heart issues. So if you would, just please lift Brady, he said. And what's the mother's name again? Okay. Thank you, Megan. Certainly want to be in prayer for that family and for Brady. other prayer requests or praises in the back? Okay, praise the Lord. That's answered prayers, isn't it? That's why we pray, so we get those answered prayers. And we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for continuing to share with us and keep us updated. So praise God for that. And those girls did such a nice job greeting everyone as you came in, didn't they? Didn't they do a nice job? So we praise the Lord for all that we're blessed with here at Moscow. So, other prayer requests or praise, Joanne?
Kathy wants me to be sure to thank everybody, especially you, Darren. Eddie was so excited when he came in over there, and he's been talking about it ever since. And he said he wanted to extend the prayers to everybody here that prayed for him.
Mm-hmm. He had a smile on his face when I came in the room there, and of course he didn't know me at first. He wasn't smiling because he knew me. I had my mask on, so you couldn't really see my face, but he was just smiling because I think he is getting better, and praise the Lord, he's getting stronger, and we just praise the Lord for those answered prayers. We'll continue to pray for Mike Corbin, though, if you would continue to lift him up in your prayers for his healing. So it's a major surgery that he had, and we just thank God that it went well. Lift my grandparents, Vance and Pauline, up and just pray for Pauline for healing for her, if you would. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers come forward now and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings of living in this nation. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that we have been blessed with, the freedom that we enjoy daily, Lord. We thank you for all these liberties, especially the liberty of being able just to come here this morning and just to worship and praise you and thank you, Lord. And to do that without any fear of imprisonment or retribution, Lord. We just thank you that we have been so blessed to be given these freedoms. And Lord, we pray for your freedom to go forth into all the world. Lord, in you there is liberty. But Lord, even as you showed us that that freedom has a cost. Lord, we know that for you the cost was your very life, that you paid for our freedom, for our liberty, Lord, that we might be free from the sins, Lord, that we once had. Lord, we might be free from the penalty of sin that we once had. And Lord, that we might be free to live unto you and free, Lord, to live in your kingdom forever and ever and ever. And Lord, there was a price to that. And Lord, we thank you that you were willing to pay the penalty of that price for us. You were willing to die upon that cross so that we might be free. Lord, we thank you. We know, Lord, that even in our own nation, that freedom is not free. And Lord, I want to thank you right now for those in our own congregation, those that have served in the different branches of the military. Lord, I thank you for their service, the sacrifice that they made for freedom, the sacrifice that they made, even their families made. Lord, I thank you for the commitment that they had as well to serve this nation, and again, serve this nation for the ideals of freedom and liberty for all. Lord, again, we just praise you for the freedom in which we have in this blessed nation, and we pray that this beacon might go out into the world and that all men might know that they are truly free. Especially, Lord, through you do we have freedom. And might they hear that and know that today. Lord, bless this offering, I pray. Bless those whom we lifted up in our prayer requests. And Lord, might you continue to have your hand of goodness and blessing upon each one of us as we seek your will daily. Father, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. And if you are staying with me, I want you to turn your Bible back to Genesis chapter 13. We looked at this last week. We're going to continue on looking at this a little bit today. This is, again, talking about Sodom, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we looked last week at the sins of Sodom, which cost certainly the people of Sodom their lives. And the city of Sodom was destroyed because of the great sins of Sodom. We looked at the sins of Sodom were the sexual sins that they were running rampant. We've seen these angels who came into the city, and of course the men of the city, both young and old, came out and surrounded the house and trying to know them carnally. So this homosexual sin that was being practiced, and that wasn't the least of it as well. There was many other sins that were being practiced there, and the sins of Sodom. And we've seen God bring down this heavy hand of destruction, burning it with brimstone, fire and brimstone. And brimstone, remember, is just burning sulfur. So this smell of rotten eggs in that land certainly was indicative of all that represented the sins of Sodom. It was certainly a soured place, and it was a rotten place, rotten to the core with sin. We saw that the sins of Sodom were the attitudes, the callous attitudes in the hearts of the people. Not only did they sin, but they had no heart or no conscience against sin. Boy, don't we see that today in America? You see people out promoting sin with just absolutely no conscience, it seems, of the wicked and the evils on which they do. In fact, rather than feel sorry for their sin, they're out rejoicing, parading down the street, aren't they? Rejoicing, promoting, holding signs that are advocating for these sorts of sins. And so no remorse, this callousness or this hardening of heart. You know, that kind of reminded me of the Pharaoh. Remember the story when the Exodus and the children of Israel were being, by Moses, being asked to be let loose, let go, let my people go. And what did happen to Pharaoh's heart? The Bible says his heart continued to harden, didn't it? And a hardening of heart, that's a true thing. That can happen. And sin makes our heart hard and calloused into a place where people will do certain things, certain sins. And we say, how in the world could they even commit such an atrocity? How could they do something so vile, so evil? How could their heart even allow them, or their mind allow them, to do such evil things? And it's this hardening of the heart, isn't it? This callousness, you know, like a work your hands, you get these calluses, you get these hardened spots on your hands. And that's the way it is with the heart. When we sin and we continue to sin, there's a hardening of the heart. It happened to Pharaoh. And as we see today, we're going to watch that hardening happen for Lot. Things that he thought were probably impossible for him to do, maybe unthinkable as a man of faith, we see at the end of Lot's story that he is fully submersed in those types of sins. You think, how can a person get it from a place of faith to a place of unthinkable sorts of evil and sin? And it was this continued hardening of Lot's heart that we'll see. Also, remember, it was a lack of righteousness that we realized was there in Sodom. It wasn't Sodom wasn't just destroyed because there was evil in the city. That was part of it, wasn't it? But remember, Sodom was destroyed because there was the lack of righteousness there. That's really why Sodom was destroyed. Well, you remember Abraham made this kind of this deal with God. Hey, if there's 50 that are righteous, would you save Sodom? Well, it works him down to 40. And then, God, if there's 30, if there's just 30 that are righteous, would you save Sodom? If there's just 20, Lord, would you save Sodom? If there's just 10, would you save Sodom? And what did the Lord say? Sure, if there are 10 there, I would spare the wicked for the righteous. But you know why Sodom was destroyed? It's because there were not even 10 people in that city that were righteous. In fact, the only ones who make it out of the city are Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And their husbands wouldn't even come. They left, the daughters left. And even as they exited the city, remember, the wife looked back, didn't she? So there were really only three that escaped the destruction of Sodom. And I told you last week, it's no coincidence that I'm preaching on Sodom and Gomorrah, this destruction, because this same putrid smell of sin that we find here in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm afraid we're starting to smell that stench right here in America, aren't we? We're seeing this same callousness towards sin, this openness towards sin, or even a calling of sin good. Living in a day where evil is good and good is evil. Isn't that just amazing how that twists around? But this same putrid smell, this same stench of sin that was rising up in Sodom, in some ways is starting to rise up from America. And I think it's time that we recognize it, number one, but also that we do as the Bible said, we repent of our sin. We seek for the healing of our land, that God might forgive our sins, and even as the Bible says, heal our land. Now, that was last Sunday. Really kind of gave you a little synopsis there of what we talked about, this sins of Sodom. This Sunday, we're going to talk about the luring of Lot, because notice here, Lot wasn't always necessarily a bad person. He was a good person. In fact, he was with Abraham, and he was not worldly, but he was a person of faith. And that he was someone who had been blessed mightily by God. Pick up there, if you would, in Genesis chapter 13 and looking at verses 8 through 13. Again, we just want to see here the blessing of Lot. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. He was equal and a man of faith with his uncle Abram, and was blessed mightily by God. Notice here that they both were blessed equally, till their flocks were so big they could no longer graze the animals together at the same place, and that there was strife beginning to break out between the herdsmen. Is not the whole land before you, Abram says? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. This is the luring of Lot that we see here take place. Again, he didn't start out necessarily as a man of worldliness or a man of sin, but he was a man that was blessed by God. He was a man of faith. We see that God blessed him richly, and that so richly that they had to divide and part ways. Him and Abram had to separate their flocks and their herdsmen and their cattle so that there would be continued peace between them. That's what Abram wanted. He wanted there to be peace between the two of them. And so Abram looked upon Jordan, and there he seen just a well-watered piece of land. Well-watered, and even continues to, or even says here that it was like the garden of the Lord. Really, just a beautiful portion of land. And so Lot, of course, he looks at that and thinks, well, that would be perfect for me. Although realizing that even in the land that he's choosing, I'm sure he knew, that there sit two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, that were there in that land, and certainly were going to be some lure to Lot away from this life of faith, away from this life of faith with Abram, and that this would be a kind of a negative thing in the land that he was choosing. Kind of made me think of the old sentiment, not all that glitters is gold. You know, just because something looks good, here Lot looked out and seen this very well-watered, promising piece of property, but not all that glitters is gold. It had some evil there in the land that were going to be a major problem for Lot and his family later on. You know, someone gave me a note a while back that said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And isn't that the story of Lot? That truly is the story of Lot. Sin took Lot farther than he really wanted to go. It took him all the way to the gates of Sodom and all the way into his family being brought into this sinful wickedness of Sodom. It kept him longer than he really wanted to stay, and it cost him more than he ever wanted to pay. That's truly exactly what happened to Lot. Charles Spurgeon said, sin slyly insinuates itself and by slow degree prevails. By slow degree. You know, Satan doesn't come in all at once, does he, to us, and just transform us or steal us away from our Christian faith. He doesn't work and operate in that means. It's slow steps, isn't it? This callousness or this moving towards sin, it doesn't happen all at once, but it's something that happens slowly, and Satan is deceptive. Sin is very deceptive. Okay, number one, I want you to see how the worldly things courted Lot. They courted him. That is, what I mean by courted is that they looked very appealing. They looked very attractive. They courted him. that these sinful things were going to be fun, that they were going to only enhance Lot's life. He looked over at Sodom. He probably heard the roar of Sodom's laughter and all their celebration. It was probably the party life year-round there. Just a total party life. And he heard all this. He heard all these things, all the fun that he thought they were having, or that they were having maybe. And that courted Lot. That lured him in and drew him closer and closer to that sort of lifestyle. You know, if someone tells you that sin isn't fun, obviously they're lying, aren't they? Even the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin. Sin can be a very pleasurable thing, can't it? If it wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't want to sin, correct? If it's something that was horrible or that you just hated, well, you wouldn't want to do that. But sin is a very pleasurable thing. It pleases the fleshly side of it. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable, but the Bible also says, friends, that that pleasure is only for a season. That's what you need to hear. That sin, yes, while it is pleasing to us, you have to recognize that that pleasure only lasts for so long. At some point, the Bible says that there is some payment or reckoning for that sin in your life. That the you might have fun for a while, but at some point the payment comes due, doesn't it? Sin has a cost. And the Bible goes to say the pleasures is only for a season. Just a season. And then when it's over, the Bible says it leaves us bitter and it finally destroys us. You can't be deceived by sin, can we, friends? We can't be deceived. That just because sin feels good or because sin is pleasurable, we can't be deceived into thinking that that sin is not going to come and destroy us or make us bitter or hurt our lives. Because that's exactly what sin does. Listen, by the end of the story here with Lot, you see that it costs Lot a whole lot. He escapes Sodom, but barely, doesn't he? And he certainly doesn't even escape with his own wife. Notice there is a cost to this sin. And we cannot live a life of sin, friends. Once you hear this, we cannot live a life of sin and think that there won't be some cost to it in our life. There will absolutely be a cost. Remember the old story of the prodigal? Luke chapter 15, the boy asked for all his inheritance. I want to go out. Dad, I want to have a good time. I want my inheritance now. I want to go to town. I want to have this great time with all this money and live it up and enjoy the sinful pleasures of the city there and just really live it up. And what do you read that happens to the prodigal? Well, by the end of the story, what's he eating? He's hungry. He's eating slop with the hogs. There's cost to sin, isn't it? Thankfully for that boy, he's seen the error of his ways, and he thought to go home and seek forgiveness. And guess what? The father received him in, didn't he? With open arms, and he forgave him. Isn't that how Jesus does us? Maybe we've been living the sinful lifestyle. Don't think for one minute that you can't come home. That's what the Lord is wanting. He's wanting you to come home. He has his arms open. Return from that wicked, sinful lifestyle. The one that destroys you. The one that leaves you eating and hungry with the hogs. Come home from that lifestyle. Listen, sin promotes what it cannot keep, doesn't it? It tells you that fun, 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 enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. It promotes all these wonderful things. It's going to fulfill your life. It's going to make you happy. If you just do these things, that it's going to fill your life. It promises something that it cannot keep. It doesn't add up to all those things. It tells you that it's going to make you happy. It tells you that you're going to finally be content. You're going to have purpose. You're going to be filled with all the wonderful things that you're wanting to be filled with. But it does the very opposite of that. The very opposite. It promises a good time. Promises happiness, joy, purpose, and contentment, but it cannot fulfill it. Number two, sin conceives us sin convinces us that what happens to others will not happen to us. Isn't that the truth? We look around, we'll say, oh, well, we see how that fellow or that person fell into sin, and my, I just ripped their life apart, but that won't happen to me. I can go on and live that sort of lifestyle, and it will not bother me, it will not hurt me. I wonder if that's what Lot said to himself as he moved towards Sodom, and he moved into Sodom. He thought, all the horrible wickedness I see of all those others in Sodom, that's not going to be me. I can live here, I can separate myself from all that. I can enjoy all these things, and it won't affect me like it affects them. That's what sin tells us, doesn't it? That somehow it won't happen to me. Don't be deceived by that. That it will destroy you just like it destroyed all the others before you that fell into that same sort of sin. Yeah, I'm careful not to define what the sin is here. Because there's a range of different sins, isn't there? I don't have to define. You know in your mind what the sin is already. I don't have to define it for you. It's different for each one of you. If I named one of it, then we'd think, well, that doesn't me. We know what sins are in our life, don't we, that maybe we give place for or we give room for. We have to be sure that we don't make place for those sins. We don't make excuse, and we're not deceived that these things will never happen to us. So sin promises what? It cannot keep. Sin convinces us that it won't happen to us as it happens to others. And next, sin creates within us a thirst for more and more sin, which can never be quenched. Remember Jesus there at the well with the woman? He says, you draw from that well, you'll just continue to thirst and thirst again. But if you drink from the well that I have that springs forth within me, you will never thirst again. Remember that story? That's sin, isn't it? Remember the woman was accused of having multiple partners and having multiple husbands. She kind of jumped around from husband to husband. And he told her, you know, this sinful lifestyle that you're living, you're trying to continue your that sin thirst within you, that flesh thirst within you. It creates a thirst that can never be quenched. The more you sin, listen, friends, the more you will thirst for sin. It just continues to grow within your life. It's not something that if you do, it just stops. It's something that continues to thirst and thirst again. And that's the way it was for Lot. He got a little taste of Sodom, and he wanted more, didn't he? He wanted more and more and more. Now, this is how sin courted Lot. Now, next I want you to see how the worldly things corrupted Lot. How the worldly things corrupted Lot. And this is what we see here. Lot's life was corrupted by sin. Now, the first word I want you to see here in your scripture is the word journey. If you look there at verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. You should underline journeyed right there. You're going to see the progression of sin. Now, Lot didn't, remember, he didn't start out in Sodom, did he? But he started journeying east towards Sodom. It's not that Lot was sinning, but he chose to go the way where sin was. Doesn't that kind of resound in our life, make kind of sense? Well, we might not necessarily be doing the things of the evils around us, but maybe we're kind of heading in that direction. Maybe our mind is moving in that direction of worldliness. And that's what Lot did. Now, I kind of thought to myself, well, you had all this plain. It says he goes east. Well, why didn't he go north? It was a big area. It's Jordan. It's massive. He could have went north in Jordan, couldn't he? He could have went south in Jordan. Still would have been fine. He maybe could have went west in Jordan, but which way did he go? He went east. He went towards the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that the Bible point out here, where the men were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The things that Sodom were doing were against the things of God, and Lot knew that. And yet Lot chose to go the direction of that. We have to be careful, friends, don't we? That we're not choosing the direction of sin in our life. We should be choosing against the things of sin. Sometimes people ask me, you know, Brother Darren, can I do this certain thing in my life and still be saved? And I think to myself, that is the wrong question. You're asking me, how close can I get to Sodom and still not fall under the destruction of Sodom? That's the question. Brother Darren, can I do this certain sin in my life? Can I live this way or do this certain thing and still be saved? You're asking me, how close to Sodom can I get? How close to the fence can I get without falling over the edge? And the question shouldn't be, how close should we can get to Sodom, but can't we go some other direction the way the Lord is? Head north, head south, head west, but don't go east. And that's what we do, friends. We'll say, well, how close can I get to sin? And you're traveling, you're making a decision in your mind already that I'm traveling, I'm moving towards Sodom. Now, the next word I want you to see here, verse 12, notice here that Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. That is the plain of Sodom. Notice he didn't just journey east, friends, but now he's a little bit farther and now he's dwelt. He's established his tent, he's set down, and right there he is, right in the plain of Sodom. Now he's not in Sodom. He's not in Sodom, but he's close, isn't he? This is this place in our life where we say to ourselves, you know what, I can do a little bit of this sin, and I think I'll be all right. I can get close enough to sin, you know, just where I can hear it, maybe where I can enjoy it from a distance, maybe where the people of Sodom won't even know, you know, maybe that secret sin. I'll do these things, and I won't become fully immersed in it. But I'll be just close enough where I get all the enjoyment. I'll get some of the pleasure, some of the enjoyment out of it. And that's what Lot did. He drew close, didn't he? Close enough he could see it with his own eyes. He could hear it with his own ears. And Lot was slowly giving in to the lifestyles of Sodom, wasn't he? Slowly progressing away from the life of righteousness into the life of wickedness. Now the third word I want you to see here, I want you to turn to chapter 19 in your scripture. Chapter 19, I want you to underline the word sitting. Sitting. Now the two angels came to Sodom, verse 1 there, in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. He looked east. He next dwelt in the plain. And where do we see him now? He's sitting at the gates of the city. You know what they do at the gates of the city? That might not mean a whole lot to you, but back then, that's where the business of the city happened. You know, the men, the leaders of the city, that would be like town hall. Lot was on the town board. He was a government leader within the city of Sodom. He was sitting at the gates of the city where the business of the city would happen. He was on the town council. He wasn't just an observer anymore. He was completely and totally immersed in the sins of Sodom. He wasn't just listening from a distance. He was sitting at the gates. He journeyed. He dwelt. And then he was lastly sitting there at the gates of the city itself. You ever heard about the old frog? If you take a frog and you take a pan of hot water and you get it up to boiling temperature, and you throw that frog in there, what do you think that frog will do? He jumps right out of there, won't he? But you know, it's scientific that if you take that same frog and you put him in that water when it's cold, and you turn that burner on real slow until where it heats up real slowly over a period of time, that frog will just continue to sit there even when the water starts to boil and he dies. He won't even before that. He won't jump out. And that's the way sin is, isn't it? It doesn't come all at once. Lot didn't just end up at the gates of Sodom. It slowly progressed in his life. And before he knew it, he was like the old frog in boiling water. He was in way too deep. He was in way too deep. Remember what I told you there? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It costs you more than you want to pay. That's why, friends, it slowly happens. It's true for Lot. It's true for us in our own life, in your life. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And it doesn't happen all at once. You think, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like that frog. I'd just jump out of that if I knew that sin was in my life. It happens slow, and it catches you. And you're in too deep before you realize what has even happened. Lot should have turned away right at the beginning, shouldn't he? He should have journeyed a different direction, but he didn't. He kept moving towards Sodom until it was too late. Listen, we talked about how the worldly things courted Lot. We talked about how the worldly things corrupted Lot. And we'll end right here, how the worldly things cost Lot. Notice that there was a cost. There was a cost. Sin has a cost. Notice it cost, first of all, Lot his faith, didn't it? Here he was a man of faith. He was a person that was living and being blessed by God, and his faith was completely stripped away, almost completely. We see the cost of his faith. Next, we see the cost of his family. Faith, family. These are the same things that still happen. It's not just Lot. It's us too, friends. It'll cost you your faith. It'll cost you even your family. Notice here that it cost Lot his wife, even his son-in-laws, and probably other extended family that Lot had there in that city. All was lost. And thirdly, it'll cost you your fortune too. It'll cost you your faith. It'll cost you your family. Sin will cost you your fortune. It'll destroy and rip everything away from you. Lot lost everything in Sodom. Everything that that Lot owned was there in Sodom. His home, his possessions. Think all the worldly things that Lot had was taken away. I tell you, you see people today, you go down the street and they're living on the street. Some of this is mental illness, but other times it's just sin that has taken everything. And it's not completely, sometimes it's literally, mental illness that they're dealing with, and God help them in that situation. But a lot of times, sin has crept into their life, whether it's addiction or other sorts of things, and it just steals away everything from them. It costs them everything. They lose all their possessions, really, and they have absolutely nothing left because a lot of times the addiction has taken everything that they have. The world costed Lot, the worldliness costed Lot his faith, his family, and his fortune. It corrupted Lot, and it cost Lot everything. Friends, I hope that you're not living in the same condition as Lot, that you're allowing these sins to come in and deceive you away from the things of the Lord. Christians, we have to be careful, don't we? We have to recognize that sin is deceptive. It was deceptive. The first time you see sin in the Bible, Adam and Eve, notice how deceptive Satan was. He tricked Eve into eating, didn't he? Did God say, would that fruit, hey, don't you think that fruit will make you just like God? Very deceiving. And she ate. Sin continues to work the same way. Christians, we must be aware that the worldly things are seeking to pull us away from the things of God. They're seeking to destroy us, to destroy our faith, to destroy our families, and to destroy our fortunes. That's what Satan would desire. We must protect our faith, our family, our fortune. And we must stay away when we hear the sounds of Sodom. We know to turn and go the other way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this lesson of Lot. I pray that it helps each one of us here today. Lord, I pray that we are more than just hearers of your word, but we are doers of your word. Lord, we do not want to be deceived, even like Eve and Adam and like Lot and many others, Lord, that we see and know today, even ourselves at times, deceived by the pleasures of sin. Lord, have us to turn the other way and know, Lord, that those things seek to destroy us in our personal life. They seek to destroy us at every turn. Lord, help us to choose another direction. And Lord, to repent of those sins that we have in our life. Bless us, I pray, even as we hear these words today. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.